You can be seated. Hallelujah. I trust everyone had a great Thanksgiving week. Nobody ate too much. How many would be honest and say, I took a nap after Thanksgiving dinner? Yeah, well, those of you that didn't, Lord, bless your heart. I don't know how you do it. But I see you survived the mall brawls. I don't see any bruises on anybody. If you went shopping over this weekend, God bless your heart too. Tell you, I've really enjoyed this past month seeing people's postings of what they're thankful for. Thankful for mom, dad, kids. Thankful for church. Different things that they were thankful for. And now we're looking toward the Christmas season and all that that holds. And you know, I thought about Thanksgiving and Christmas this week. Brings back a lot of memories. All you older folks, all of us older folks, remember when you sat around dad's table for Thanksgiving? You might have had a kid's table, but there's just something special about being with dad and mom Thanksgiving and enjoy that fellowship with all your family. And then Christmas time coming, of course. And how excited we were to get those special kids' gifts, you know, like those twin holster, Lone Ranger pistol and... Am I the only one? Now we're excited, though, about what we can give, not so much about what we can get. Amen? But I understand that these approaching holidays is not quite that way for everyone. Not everyone is excited about this time of year. Many are depressed and alone, and they have a void in their lives that they just can't seem to fill. And I actually saw on post some that said, I have nothing to be thankful for. I thought, my God, how sad. I have nothing. Got a roof over my head, shoes on my feet, food on the table, a family, and still have nothing to be thankful for. It's a terrible thing to fall into that kind of condition, because for most of us, this is a time of rejoicing, a time of celebration, a time of happiness. There's even some birthdays in December we enjoy, But for some time, some it's a time of sorrow. Some just they feel helpless, they feel hopeless, and their pain and troubles seem to be magnified at this time of the year, and they just feel like they have no hope. Now, hope is a word that we use differently today than what they used in the Bible. You know, I prepared a picnic for this afternoon. I hope it doesn't rain. Well, that hope, there's no certainty to it. Bought a lottery ticket. I didn't. Bought a lottery ticket. Hope I win. There's no certainty in that. The hope I want to talk about today is certain. The kind of hope that I have is a hope of certainty. Amen. It's sure. It's certain. And the power of hope produces faith. And faith pleases God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. So I want to talk about hope today. And there might be a little bit on the negative side for those that have lost hope or are losing hope, but I want to try and stay as positive as possible. The power of hope can change your life. Not a hope that's uncertain, but one that is sure. Jeremiah 29 and 11, the scripture says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Well, I expect to have trouble. No. He said, it's not going to be trouble. It's not going to be evil. I'm going to give you an expected end. One who has lost hope turns their back on tomorrow, and they live yesterday. But those with hope, those who have hope, embraces tomorrow because of or in spite of yesterday. Hope changes my perspective. Hope that is lost, they see nothing to look forward to. But hope sees, I'm going to receive blessings tomorrow. God's going to do some special things in my life tomorrow, as He is today, as He did yesterday. Oh, I've had my problems. I've had my share of troubles. But my hope is in Jesus Christ. And when my hope is in Christ, it doesn't matter what else may go on in this life or what happens to me in this life. I have my hope in Christ. Amen. There's a song we used to sing, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Anybody remember that? Well, part of the verse is this. Time is filled with swift transition. Can you say amen? Things change so fast, especially today, it seems like. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. We build our hope on God, our hope in Christ, and it doesn't matter what happens in this life, we will always be right with God. Life changes. Things change. We change. I hope we change. I hope I'm better tomorrow than I am today. And I hope I'm better today than I was yesterday. Things change. Life continues to change, but God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He stands still and firm. He doesn't change, not even a shadow of turning. Nothing. He's the same. What he did for you yesterday, he'll do today. What he did for me 30 years ago, 55, 56 years ago, he'll do today. It's been 57 years ago in December that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That hasn't changed. The Holy Ghost is still the same. And he'll fill people with the Holy Ghost today just like he did me 57 years ago. And some of you even longer ago than that, because some of you are older than me. I know that. But things change. But today I want to speak hope to us. You may be on the mountaintop this morning. You might be in the valley. But we have hope. We have hope of tomorrow. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Paul writes to the church about the resurrection of Christ. And the hope of the resurrection means to us. There were some who didn't believe in the resurrection. Now, he's writing to the church. And there's some in that church. I wonder if they were converted Sadducees that held to some of their old traditions. There were some that, no, I don't believe in the resurrection. And Paul's writing to them. And in verse 19, he says, if in this life only I have hope in Christ, of all men most miserable. He's telling the church that if Christ isn't risen, we're still in our sin. If Christ is not risen, we're still lost. But Christ has risen, and we have forgiveness of sin through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we have that promise. Hallelujah. We have that hope that is in him, that we shall rise also. Paul tells the church that if there is no resurrection, our service is in vain. What are we here for? Why do we suffer the afflictions of the righteous if there is no hope of the resurrection, if Christ didn't rise? He said, if in this life only I have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I suffered in vain. I took those beatings in vain. I was stoned in vain. If it all comes to naught. But because of the resurrection, my hope is beyond this life. My hope is in a risen Savior. Praise God. Also, when I put my hope in the things in this life, I'm going to be disappointed. Amen. If I put my hope in my job, I might lose that job. I might get fired. If I put my hope in money, making money, I can be so busy making money, I can forget about God. This is positive, folks. If I put my hope in the stock market, well, stock market drops. And then where are you? If I put my hope in people, all these things are going to disappoint us sometime in our life. But our hope in Christ will never fail us. A hope that is built on that solid rock, Jesus Christ. There's another song we used to sing, On Christ, the Solid Rock I Stand. Remember that, any of you older folks? Part of the verse is, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When my hope is in that, that hope is sure. My soul is secure. My hope is not in Hollywood. My hope is not in riches. My hope is not in politics. My hope is in Christ. Amen. For where my heart is, there's going to be my treasure. So today I want to talk about the power of hope. If your hope is lost this morning, or if you feel that your hope is failing, I want to talk to you. Let me encourage you today. Let's look at the results of someone who had lost hope but found it again. We find a woman here in the book of Luke, been sick for 12 years, spent all her money going to the doctors, and still she was sick. She had no result from all of the money that she spent. None could help her. Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that the virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." This woman has spent everything she had over 12 years going to doctor's appointments, taking tests, all kinds of variety of things that they would come up with to try and heal her, keeping appointments, taking those treatments. Nothing could help. She may have walked out of the doctor's office that day, and there walking up the street was Jesus. Now, somewhere along the line, she'd heard about Jesus, because in her mind, she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." See, she had lost hope. We can put hope in doctors, and that's okay. Doctors are good. They're for a reason, and I pray God guides the doctors that take care of me and you. But here she was, and she said, "These doctors have been able to do nothing. I have no hope now. All my money's gone. There is no hope." And she looked through that crowd and saw Jesus, and she saw hope. She saw hope. And I wonder, now Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were saying, "Well, everybody's around here bumping up against you. We all have." She said, "No, somebody touched me with a purpose, with a reason." And I wondered how many in that crowd, maybe even some that bumped up against Jesus, I wonder if any of those others had a problem that they needed to be taken care of. I wonder if maybe some of them needed a job, or maybe some of them needed a healing. But they didn't have that hope in Christ that she saw. And when she pressed through that crowd and got to the point where she could touch the hem of his garment, whether it's the hem of his sleeve or the hem of his robe, whatever, when she touched him, she was immediately healed. When we can put our hope in Christ, listen, I know there is sicknesses, and there are times that we say, "Lord, are you ever going to answer?" God has the answer. God has the answer. We can't lose our hope in him. Our hope in Jesus Christ is so important. Now, let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 137. This is about a time when Israel was in captivity in Babylon, and their captors had kept them out of the major cities and camped them by the rivers around Babylon. And here we find them remembering how it used to be. Psalms 137 and verse 1. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." That is really starting out pretty pitiful. Here we are. "We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof." We're just so sad. "For there they," listen, they were in captivity. They were taken out of their home. They had a right to be sad. They had a right to be discouraged. "But for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion." Amen. When you're sad and you come to church, can you sing the song of Zion? "I'm so discouraged. I got so many problems. Can I sing the song of Zion? Can I sing a song of praise to my God? Hope tells me I can. Hope tells me that no matter what happens in my life, I can worship my God. It wasn't enough that they were in captivity, but their captors, they wanted them to sing a song about their God that allowed us to capture you. Sing us about that song that allowed, and the devil is the same way today. Go ahead, sing about the song of your God because you're in trouble now. You got problems. You got heartaches. Sing a song about Zion. And when the devil can get us to lay our praise down, let our worship down, our hope will be out the door. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can I sing praises except I come to church? How can I sing a song of praise in my home? How can I sing a song of praise on my job? How can I do that? I have to hear the praise singers first. I have to hear the music first. I can't do all that on my job. How can I worship God when I'm in financial trouble, when I've got problems? How can I worship God when I know there is a problem in my home? This is pretty much what they were going through. How can we do it? And then verse 5. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I forget how to worship, let me forget how to play the piano. Let me forget how to play the drums. Take the beat away from me. If I forget you, I can't play that harp no more. If I forget how to worship God, let me forget how to play those things. Verse 6, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. If I can't praise God, I don't even want to be able to have the ability to talk. That's way out there, isn't it? That's strange. If I can't remember God, if I can't worship Him, then Lord, what good am I in this life? But I have hope. I have hope. I have hope that I am going to worship God. I have hope that I can do the things that God wants me to do. They remembered what it was like when they were in church. Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, anyone that's ever left truth, ever left the church, remembers those church services. They remember the words that were preached. They remember the songs that were sung. They haven't forgot that. They haven't forgot that. I will never forget that, praise God. I'll never forget the night I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praise God. They remembered those songs. They remembered all of that because they felt hopeless and abandoned and helpless. They couldn't do anything. Folks, don't ever, and I'm speaking from experience, okay? Don't ever get to the point that you can say, I don't know, Lord, I just can't feel you. And so I think I'll just sit in church and just sit there. Worship. Worship. Don't let anything ever interfere with your worship. Don't let anything that's going on in your life interfere with worship, praise God. They couldn't bring themselves to worship God in song because they felt hopeless. They didn't seem to have any hope. Abandoned. Someone has said, when things are good, praise God. When things are bad, praise God. Always praise Him. As we heard last week, Brother Chris Saunier, Job lost everything. Man, everything was taken from him. All of his family except his wife. All of his kids were gone. All of his cattle, his horses, his sheep, his camels, all of his crops. Everything was gone. And here he is sitting in ashes with a broken clay pot scraping the boils that covered him from head to toe. But he knew how to worship. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I'm still going to worship Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is hard. Rather, it's easy to understand the Israelites by the rivers of Babylon. It's easy to understand the troubles that they were having. But when you come to Job, said, forget about that. So you got problems. So you got trouble. Worship God. You can't have more troubles than Job had. He praised God when he had a lot, and he praised God when he had nothing. When his closest friends come around and ridiculed him, accused him of sin. You've got to have sinned. If you have problems today, and someone comes to you and say, it's because you sinned. How are you going to feel about that? God said, I'm going to have Job pray for y'all. Because Job's okay. Job's right. You're not. I'll have Job pray for you. Amen. When we have problems, we can continue to give God the glory. I want to encourage us to never lose our desire to worship God. We have such great worship services, and I know the second service is going to be like ever. It's just a great time of worship and praise. Never lose the desire to worship. Amen. Never lose the desire. In Psalms 34, we find that David had fled from Saul, and he was hiding among the Philistines. But he was recognized, and he was brought before Abimelech, and he pretended to be mad because, he's in the enemy's camp, and they don't like crazy people. We're not crazy. We're just peculiar. I'm happy to be peculiar. Amen. And then Psalm 34:1, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. He wrote this at that time when he had feigned madness and slobbering all over himself and running down his beard. He said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will praise the Lord at all times, in good times, in bad times, in trouble, in heartache, in sorrow, in loss. I'm going to praise the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He didn't put conditions on when he might praise the Lord. He didn't put conditions on it when I finally rise to the kingdom, when I finally get to be king. No, at all times, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord at all times, no matter what we may be facing today, we have hope in Christ. That deserves praise. Anyone has ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, he deserves praise. Those that have ever committed sin and God has forgiven, that deserves praise. Anyone that's ever been healed of a disease, that deserves praise. Anyone who's ever felt the calling of God in their life, that deserves praise. There, and go all the way back to when you had nothing. And most of us in here are not in that category. Most of us have a house, a home, car, shoes, clothes, food. But if all that's taken away, praise the Lord at all times. Praise God. There's no reason not to worship Him because we have hope in Christ that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. In Acts the 16th chapter, we find Paul and Silas having they cast a spirit of divination out of this woman, and the people that earned a lot of money through her divination got upset. And they brought Paul and Silas in, beat them, and with many stripes, and threw them into prison. Let's read that in Acts the 16th, starting with verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, or in the dungeon, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Can you imagine? Their backs bloody and raw, having been beaten with many stripes. That would discourage me. That might make me mad at whoever held that whip. It might make me wonder, God, what is going on in my life? Do I deserve this? Is what's happening to me? God, did I do something wrong to deserve this? I might have thought like that, but they were beaten and bloody, and there in the middle of the night, Paul, Silas are praying, and said, Paul turns to Silas and says, hey, Si, start a song. Let's just worship a while. And I can imagine Silas starts singing, my hope is built on nothing less. Then Jesus Christ,
His righteousness. Oh, to worship God when things are good is easy. It's easy. But to worship God when things are in this condition, when we have our hope in Christ, our situation will not stop us from worshiping God, giving praise to the one who is our hope. Disappointments are going to come, folks, sorry to tell you. Loss is going to come. Heartaches are going to come. Troubles are going to come. I'd like to say this is a tiptoe through the tulip salvation. It's not. It's not. But as David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Let's take a look at a few more of those that were captives in Babylon. Take a look at Daniel. Daniel, you have such honor. I'm going to raise you in the kingdom. Daniel, you're doing so good, I'm going to raise you more. Daniel, you're doing so good, I'm going to put you up here as one of my presidents. The other presidents got jealous, got upset that this captive is on their equal. Do you know that there's people around you that don't like what you are? That don't like how you live? Do you know that? There's people that don't care for apostolics, those tongue-talking holy rollers. That's all right. I may be peculiar, but I'm his. Daniel, it's been decreed you can't pray to any other god or anyone. You can't seek advice from anyone except the king. You're not going to dictate me how I worship. I'm going to throw my windows open toward Jerusalem, and I'm going to pray. You tell me I can't pray, I'm going to pray. I wonder today if jackbooted soldiers came in here today. Don't you worship? I wonder if we could. I wonder if we could. Threw the windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. All right, Daniel. Sorry to do this. King liked Daniel. King didn't realize what he was doing when he signed that decree. He knew Daniel. Daniel's going to pray. Our neighbors need to know we're going to pray. We're going to go to church. We're going to worship the Lord. Our neighbors need to know that. The king knew that. Anyway, Daniel was in the lion's den. And the king all night wondered about David, thinking about David. Next morning, the king gets up and looks in the Daniel den, or in the lion's den, and said, Daniel, did your God come through? Oh, king, live forever. My God always comes through. My God always comes through. I have a hope in that God. I have a hope in that salvation. And then, of course, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They build a big golden idol. So everybody, when you hear the music, you'd bow down and worship. And when the music started, here were these three guys were. And everybody else was on their faces. Now, I don't know if any of those on their faces were the captors or the captives. I don't know. All I know is these three men were standing. Say, king, look, you got to do something about those three boys. So they brought him up to the king, and the king said, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. Bow down. Bow down. No, we're not even careful to answer you. My God, our God, can deliver us from that fire, and he will deliver us from you. See, they had hope. They had confidence in the God of their salvation. And you know the story, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. The guards that threw them in were killed by the flame and the heat. And after the flame got down a little bit, the king looked in and said, didn't we throw three guys in there bound? Yeah. Well, I see four. Whatever you're going through, look for it. He's right there with you. He's right there with you. No matter what's happening in your life, God's right there with you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, but bring them out. They said, man, not even the hairs on their head was singed, but they were in the fire. You're going through the fire today. You worship God. I guarantee you, you'll come out with not a singed hair, not a spark on your garment. It's going to come out right because God is with you. My God, hallelujah.
Amen. God showed Ezekiel a valley that was full of dry bones. Ezekiel 37, I'm going to read most all of this. I've got plenty of time. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were many, very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. So in other words, they'd been there a long time. They were really been in that valley a long time. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. I wonder what his expression was when he answered. You know. Or did he have confidence? You know. You know, Lord. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Preach to them. I heard a preacher one time say, every time I get up in my church on Sunday after a Dallas Cowboys loss, I'm preaching to dry bones. He said, I know what Ezekiel felt like. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Hallelujah. Folks, we can make some noise. We can make some noise. Apostolics know how to make some noise. Amen. And there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Can you imagine what that was like? His bone went over to that bone, that bone went to that bone. Pretty soon, all the bones were together in the body that they came from. When the preacher preached, these dry bones responded and came together. When the preacher preaches, respond. Come together. Come together. We as one, praise God. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all together and they were in one accord. When we feel alone, we feel lost or whatever, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to what the preacher's saying. Amen. And let us say, preach, preacher. I want, Brother McGuire, I want you to preach. And if it shakes me, okay. These bones need to get shaken once in a while. If it brings me together, preach. Amen. I say, preach, preacher. Preach to my dry bones. Preach life into me. Make sure that I'm going to be okay. And I'm going to be okay through the preaching of the Word of God. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. We have a hope in Christ, and there is power in that hope. Hope of salvation. We who were dead in sin and trespasses live again. Praise God. We live and we're made alive through Christ. Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We're not like we used to be. Can somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I'm not like I used to be. Amen. Then God told Ezekiel what these bones were. In verse 11 of Ezekiel 37, he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. God was telling Israel, I'm still your God. I'm still on the throne. And I will make you alive. I know what to do. I know how to do it. I know how to bring you together. I know how to put life into you. And folks, I'm telling you today, God knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knows where we are. And he can make us so alive that we're going to make some noise, folks. And I know in the second service, we're going to be making a lot of noise because we're going to worship God. But when we feel hopeless or we feel hope is lost, listen to the preacher. When he preaches the word of God, he preaches life into our bones. Amen. He preaches hope to the lost because God is our life. He's our hope. Praise God. There's power in hope. I wanted to go to Ezekiel. I believe it's 137. I can't remember if I gave you a scripture or not. In verse 1, and Ezekiel's talking, I was by the rivers of Babylon. He was among the captives. And I saw visions. Same time, same area, different outlook. I saw visions of glory. I saw a wheel in the middle of the wheel. You see, our outlook in hope goes beyond what we are right now. You know, I'm going to say 20 years ago, Brother Keith, what was it? We might have had 50 people at that time, maybe, if that. And looking toward the future, we were in a rented building. Looking toward the when Brother Sister McGuire came, I think we had 23, 24. And about half of those were kids, young ones. Looking to the future. And if we could look then to see what it is now, we would have been rejoicing greater than we did. But looking today into what it's going to be in our future, we can rejoice today knowing that God is going to continue to bless, add souls to the daily, to the church, such as should be saved. Praise God. We've got so much to look forward to. We've got a new year coming up, and it's full of hope. It's full of hope. Not fear and doubt, but of hope. Romans 5 and 1, and I've got to come to a close. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You can't separate faith from hope. You can't separate hope from faith. It coincides. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we can rejoice through our trials, through our tribulations, because of the hope that gives us. We can rejoice. Amen. And I know there's been a lot of sickness and there's been loss, but we still have hope. We have experience and hope. I'm not ashamed. I'm telling you what, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jews, to the Gentiles. And I'm going to rejoice in that hope. I'm going to worship God because of that hope. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8, and I'm coming to a close. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Jesus is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming for a people that have prepared themselves, made themselves ready to meet him. I want to be one of those, don't you? Amen. Let's stand and give the Lord a hand clap of praise, can we? Hallelujah. Lord, we're so grateful for your love. Thank you, God. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for this hope, Lord. This hope that's beyond us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the mighty name of God. Hallelujah. What a great day to be serving God. I don't know about you. I am so excited about being back in church after a whole week without church. And I love to see your smiling faces and our visitors. God bless you. You're so welcomed here. And I just want to remind what Brother McGuire said. All of our church events are listed on the bulletin board, on the calendar out in the foyer. And in our overhead, you're going to be seeing it pop up through here. So we will not be making the announcements from the pulpit anymore. Just make sure you get those announcements, can you? Lord bless you in Jesus' name.